This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
This is Rick on the, what's the goddamn date today? Let's have a look here. Here. I sound like that Rizzoli. Jim Rizzoli. Here. It's Wednesday, the 17th of June, 2026. He just did a show last night. But he's back again, because he's not going to be back here for a week, possibly, be told.
Thank you very much, whoever you were. The Jim Rizzoli sounding like a guy from Brooklyn. Rick, June the 17th. I know it's June the 17th because I had to pay my registration for my vehicle today. How much did it cost me? $800? For 6 months, very expensive to register your car. Or was it? No, it wouldn't be that. It was about $600, whatever. But anyway, I thought I'd come on here because I had nothing better to do with myself than talk on truthmeets.com because no one else is fucking doing it. What is the matter with all these people out there? Why are they not utilizing Joel's perfect service? You've got here or fakeholders.com where you can go on there and just talk away and go green whenever you want to. Why are not more people talking? Why do they not like talking? It's probably because they're a bit scared sometimes. I never had that problem. I went on 8 years and 2 months ago. Was it 3 months ago? And started chatting away. on fakeholders.com and on many different shows. But if anyone's out there and they want to come in, because I'm just going to go just chat away for about an hour. Now, if this last night's one gets released and it was all right because I actually had the microphone down my chest chatting away. God knows what it sounded like until I worked it out that I was had my microphone down my chest. And I was talking about someone had contacted me about the Cutting Through the Matrix or Melissa's show. And anyway, I emailed her last night and I said, I had to say something. If she had said that if you don't believe in the nuke bomb thing, you're on a hamster wheel. And I said, I emailed her and I said, no, you're on a merry-go-round with H.G. Wells and flashing lights. With dinosaurs, mushroom clouds, planes that went into the tower, didn't go into the towers, rather. But anyway, and she's very adamant about that that a lot of this thing is just causing, you're on a hamster wheel. Well, kind of you are, but if what I explained to her is that the most important thing that you've got to get out of your brain is this nuclear bomb thing. Is being used right now to justify Donald Trump's property deals in Iran, which obviously organized with the Iranians up at the very top, for sure. But if the public understand there's no such thing as this bomb that goes off bang and blows, like all the footage from Lookout Mountain, where they filmed every single piece of those bombs going off, where they use sunrises what else do they use? It was slowed down, dynamite exploding in the desert. A lot of different techniques. All done by that, what's his name? That, I think he's still alive. The artist that did, Nuke Lies. Then Rollo upset one night on a fakeologist interview, apparently. But he was really good. He did a really good production. And this is what I've said that Alan Watt comes out as the base, but the guys that got into him, like Chris Kendall and stuff like that, took it way above and explained the ludicrousness with a sense of humor of an awful lot of psychological operations. Particularly, you know, it's just shootings, the mass shootings. And they used, you know, this crisis actor after crisis actor that was just pathetic. And all of a sudden we could see this stuff, fakeologist and hoaxbusters call back in the day. They were the leaders of fake shootings and psychological operations. And you had some real hard core, you know, you had Dave J, SMJ, what's his name, from Liverpool, no, from Manchester. It's, you know, really hard, great arguers. You had Tom Delpra, it just popped into my head and popped out again. Why does this happen? Why does this happen? Napoleon Wilson. There you go. One of the top, you know, the totally out there people that they're totally free thinkers though. And you had some fantastic discussions. Then you had some people that just came on and ruined the conversation, Rollo, a lot of the time, but not at the beginning. He was fantastic, but then he'd come on two bottles of vodka down and ruin a great conversation by shouting out stupid words. And Napoleon Wilson never forgave him and never ever came back to fakeologist. It's as simple as that. But, you know, he's still out there, I do believe. I hope he's still out there. But you had some really, really, really good stuff on hoaxbusters and fakeologists. Then there was this big collision that happened about 8 years ago, I would hazard a guess, when what's his name came on and said that someone actually died, which is you cannot do on fakeologist. Some motorbike accident. This is John Adams, and there was a big huge fight, and AB refused to delete JJ's insults to John Adams, and a whole lot of the hoaxbusters crew just completely left fakeologist, never to return. Never, ever to return, and never have come back. And there was some, you know, great people. There was Kelly from Scotland and blah, blah, blah. But so we came in, the Aussies, and my mind was to kind of keep the gel between the two. And we did the Fakeologist Australia round table. As Napoleon Wilson pointed out, it's spelled F-A-R-T, which was Fart Podcast, which we did 50-something episodes of. Some good. I haven't, it's one of the shows I don't listen back to often, but there is some really good ones, expertly produced by Joel when he was when he was there. He did some great stuff. Me, Rollo, we had all sorts of people, you know, the main host though, Golden Skidmark / Noise Level and Joel, the four of us. And we all caught up at Rollo's house one evening in, back in the day. I think we did, it's called Fart Podcast 3. We were actually all met up, or four or five, whatever it was. It was fantastic. Actually meeting real people and getting on it. And I say this without any exaggeration, getting on it at Rollo's place, the treehouse in Newcastle, which he sold and he now has known. He's in a new little place, much nicer and much easier to walk up the driveway. than the other one. I'll be told. But, yeah, so where are we going with all these different issues? And at the moment, we've got, at the moment, today I was driving into where I live, a supermarket. I looked up and there's this fucking great big sprayed line way below the cloud level, dripping out of the sky, whatever's in that stuff. And it's exactly the same stuff as you see when you, if you've got ever done water blasting, which I do on a regular basis, there's a particular nozzle you can put on the head and it sprays in a circle and it mixes together. And so if you've got two different chemicals, and then it just, these things just drip out of the sky. It's not natural. But way above that is these frequency, like look at fish scales everywhere. Not ever seen pre-98, at least, if not 2010. Fish scale clouds, completely unnatural looking things that have come, some kind of frequencies going on with all this technology that's getting built underneath it. And people that deny this are two things, stupid or Malthusians. They're out to make you, ridicule you. There's stupid people and there's the Malthusians. Thesians. And people like me that have been looking at the sky since the 60s, you know, scanning the sky for UFOs and jets and planes and stuff, we can see this is not normal. But there's younger people now that have kind of infiltrated and come through that they've never seen stars. Sorry, they've never seen proper blue skies or a yellow sun. Ever. They've never seen it. But I have, and I go on about it, and I stand up for myself. And whether I don't give a fuck how many people I lose with my views and how I speak to people, because I already know there's a couple of people at least that I know personally that listen to the show that I would do it just for them alone. And I've said that before. Some people just, even if I knew it was just one person that said, Rick, you're doing great shows, I'll do it just for them. And I probably am in some ways. But I know there's other people out there that are listening. Because I'm giving you, I trust myself. I trust myself and I know what I'm saying and I believe what I'm saying. And I'm not lying to you or asking you for money to listen to me. I'm just giving it to you for free and I'm just telling the truth. I came up with the name Esoteric as a pseudonym in 96, 7, 8, 7, say 98. And I was doing some, I thought, you know, I should start doing comics and underground comics and stuff because I was into this, you know, I've got them in here, out here now. I'm going to go and get one of them. The Big Book of Weirdos. The Big Book of Weirdos. And so I first started reading the Big Book of Conspiracies back in the day, which is one of the greatest books ever of how to get your information out is put it in cartoons. And the people that come up with the Big Book, which are always available if you go to a really good comic store, you've got the Big Book of Conspiracies, Big Book of Weirdos, Big Book of Thugs, Big Book of, there's about 13 or 14 of them. I've got Big Book of Thugs, Big Book of Scandals, Big Book of Conspiracies, and the Big Book of Weirdos. And I just know that in two pages, you can get out all, or three pages with, it's an average, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so about 8 panels per page, and some there's 9. And in 3 pages, you can get out thousands of bits of information because what they say, a picture tells 1,000 words. So there's up to 9,000 words by using pictures and comics. And I started doing some stuff back in the day and I thought Esoteric is a good name because Rick is my real name. And Esoteric is my favorite bookshop, Esoteric Bookshop. and I combined the two. And then, you know, many years later, 8 years ago, 2 months, I used that as my pseudonym. I call it exoteric because I've started as esoteric and I lost the password. But it's esoteric, which is hidden knowledge or suppressed knowledge. But these books are fantastic. And it's Franz Kafka, William Burroughs, but just brilliantly done cartoons using the best underground comic artists that America had, and possibly English as well. A Ford by Gahan Wilson, who was a comic, really strange artist back in the days. But there's people like Edward Askew. Have you ever heard of Edward Askew? That's A-S-K-E-W, Southern, S-O-T-H-E-R-N. Just incredible weirdos and people that have been written out of history. Chung Ling Su, have you heard of him? So that's Chung, C-H-U-N-G, Ling, L-I-N-G, and Su, S-O-O. Harry Houdini, Alfred, what's his name? Alfred Jerry, J-A-R-R-Y. All these amazing, interesting people that were around.
Whoa, listen to me.
Be told, 70.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to Another Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Fabulous Sarah. Fabulous Sarah. Yeah, so this is 70, episode number 70, because I'm not going to be doing anything for probably a week, I would say. I'm not going to do anything when I'm on holiday. Maybe I will. I doubt it, though. There is Isadora Duncan. There's so many interesting people in here. Shipwreck Kelly. Really interesting one on a guy called, what's his name? Yeah, Shipwreck Kelly. Very interesting. Had you heard of him before? Oh, Moondog. Have you heard of him? Eric von Strom. I know about him. He was a director. Ed Wood Jr. These are like, again, three pages each with about nine panels per page, but it's almost like reading the entire book on that particular person just by looking at these cartoons. Absolutely fantastic. He says, taking something out of something I've dropped in my beer, a bank statement. How would you do that? I mean, a thing from one of those auto tellers. Really strange thing to have done. But yeah, no, highly recommend these Big Book of Weirdos, Big Book of da-da-da. How many other books are there? There's a lot, though. But the really interesting, Tesla's in here, Hetty Green, da-da-da-da-da. All these people you've probably never, ever, 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 ever heard of before. The Gullier brothers, never heard of them before. Howard Hughes, he's full of interest. That guy's really interesting. Marquis de Sade, really strange. James Barry, never heard of him before. June and Jennifer Gibbons, very interesting story. Now, maybe what I will do in the future is just go through each one of these and do a particular talk, because you've never heard of them possibly. I hadn't heard of them until I read the big book of whatever. So anyway, so as far as, so Melissa's fantastic. She actually contacts me. She's standing up for herself as she, you know, she's a fairly strong-willed woman. But it just really, to me, if you've got someone like, what's his name, that's one of the Scottish guy, that's Neil Foster, I heard him saying that he doesn't want to go to Poland because he doesn't want to be, just in case he gets caught in the middle of a nuclear war. And I was like, I said to Melissa, I said, he's got more hope of being attacked by the Loch Ness Monster than being involved in a nuclear war. There's never going to be a nuclear war. It's just been there to scare you from early 19th century with H.G. Wells' bomb thing that he brought up. And then, of course, we had that, you know, scammer, crazy-haired scientist, and, you know, that whole bullshit about the Manhattan Project. Notice Manhattan Project 1, That was the nuclear bomb. And Manhattan Project 2, that was 9/11. They're there. Be told. Two Manhattan Projects. But I would actually hazard a guess. They started the Manhattan Project. It actually, forget about the nuclear bomb. It actually was what was coming 60 years to the day. Again, always 60. For, 1941, when they started the Manhattan Project to, 2001. That was the Manhattan Project. So you're getting a total exclusive on a Be Told show, as per usual, or one that I say is a total exclusive. Drinking better beer, very low alcohol. I got 3%, but it's got, no problem. I don't like getting drunk. I do not enjoy wobbling. I like to be able to walk properly. Unlike Rollo, who mastered the art of walking with up to three bottles of vodka down him. It's a bit falling over, and I can't believe he never fell off that balcony, because my God, that was a dangerous balcony. Anyway, I'll mute for a bit and then I'll be back to chat. So today, this afternoon, Martha, hey, good timing, dude. Good timing. How are you, Martha?
Not bad. Yourself?
I'm fine. I'll just get it out of my head before I say it. Someone contacted me, from a psychologist who is in Sydney. No, it is Sydney. And had seen me, heard me talking about someone that wanted needed a small business person small motors that could fix small motors. And he said, he must have heard me talking about it and said, where are you? Because I repair small motors. And I said, well, it was ages ago, but he wanted someone to fix motor mowers. Anyway, then he started, and I said, I just offhandedly said, we're getting sprayed like bugs up the mid-north coast. And he said, I don't believe any of that. And I said, that's good. You're on the right, you came from the right platform. I'm a fakeologist. He said, no, I was into it. But then he goes, I came out with nothing, and it was all, and I said, well, what do you mean you come out with nothing? It's like, it's just something that's going over your head. I can't explain some of it, but a lot of it's just bewildering that people aren't looking up because they're all staring at their phone. Anyway, then he said, look, I have to go, peace be with you, brother. And I said, are you Muslim? And he blocked me. Some odd character, but people that say peace be with you, brother, are usually Muslims. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but as I ask offhandly, and he is living in an area which is absolutely predominantly Muslim. But just the fact they do not want to discuss this topic, and another strange person. Anyway, Martha, how are you? Are you not on holiday yet? You going soon?
No, a couple of weeks. And by the looks of it, weather, I don't know what it would, well, it's, you're in a completely different world, part of the world, but the weather, again, I'll repeat myself, summer here has been pretty awful in Scotland. So I'm looking forward to getting a couple of weeks of sunshine, hopefully, because that's about the only sun we'll see. It's been pretty rotten up here. So I don't know what's going on. It's not nice at all.
Apparently so. We've got beautiful weather, but there's things going over much higher and then much lower. Literally today I saw this right over the top of heading out to sea, which means it's military because you're not allowed to fly over the sea of the coast where I am. But it was this was low, way below the clouds, and it was just like just dripping out of the sky. And I'm listening to people, everyone's sick. I started feeling a bit, a bit phlegmy today, but I take things and mitigate these things. I always recommend taking ginger and things like that to help clear your gunk.
Yeah, 100%. I see the picture you posted today. I mean, it doesn't look to the naked eye. It doesn't look natural to me.
It's not natural. It never happened.
Really not, no.
It never happened until up until the last 15, 20, 30 years or whatever. 98, apparently, when it really started in Australia.
Mm.
But New Zealand's just getting it now, and it's only started a few years ago. Because this is the logic. If you live up where I live, it's a regional area, right? There is not 50, you know, there is not that amount of planes that fly over your head normally. But every now and then, it happens. And that's what I'm querying. It's like, you know, this is just not normal. Plus, I would have loved as a child to look up and see a great big lion flying over my head. But no, never saw it. It never happened.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm a little bit on the fence with concerning that it's poison, I must admit. But there's something there.
You cannot say it's poison because everyone's getting the stuff. It's not selectively going out. It's so, but basically, if you're aware of the what's, you'd be mitigating it by, you know, doing that heavy metal detox and stuff like that. Mm. And every time I work for rich people, I notice in their fridge different types of supplements that you cannot just normally get. And I'm talking about wealthy people. They'll have DHEA is a regular thing that I see in people's fridges. And I knew that this particular doctor that they were all seeing because I was friends. I'm in your house. I get to talk to you as a real person, you know, because you've let me into your house. So I have conversations with wealthy people that are, you know, wealthy people. But I did notice there was one particular doctor. He was an Indian Australian that was offering all sorts of amazing things to lose weight and get healthy that only wealthy people were going to see. And he was based in an area in Sydney, which is I consider extremely wealthy, Double Bay. And they call it Double Pay because that's how much you pay. Yeah. That was, you know, they were paying $5 a coffee there 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And this doctor was based there, and he offered things that you cannot normally get. And so I'm suggesting that the people that are aware of what you need to be taking are probably taking things to mitigate heavy metals, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So these are there.
Yeah, I would imagine they run in very sort of tight circles, these kind of rich people at the country club and at the golf club and various other... Well, this parties and they're all talking to each other and they're all sharing information which is kept from us plebs, isn't it? Really, they keep it amongst themselves.
Yeah, and the useless eater cleaner actually gets to talk to them and because they're friends with me, they say, "Oh, you should go and see Doctor. Forget his name. He's now retired, but there'll be someone replaced him now. He was doing intravenous injections of vitamins and." You could get, DHEA, which is really hard to get. He was also, and this one lady who was a extremely famous artist in Australia, that is, she said to me that when you go into a surgery, you'll see often two or three ex-prime ministers sitting in his surgery. So this was no ordinary doctor.
There you go. No, there you go. And then it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
So this is why I, as a itinerant cleaner, but because I tend to have very wealthy clients, I don't know, it's just the way it worked out with me. I heard different conversations and saw different things, and I noticed things. I can tell you one thing. I can open up your refrigerator right now and in 3 seconds gauge the level of health you've got just by using my eyesight to see what you're putting your food into. Is it glass or is it plastic? Is the majority of your sauces and stuff like that kept in glasses? And is it from a grocery store? Or is it organically sourced stuff? Do you want me to do you one?
No.
Sorry. And it was quite obvious to me that the rich people saw different and got different treatments than the poor people.
I would imagine all their kitchen utensils are copper as well. They don't use Teflon and non-stick pans and shit like that.
It's stainless steel or that very expensive French stuff, which I do actually own a fair bit of. I forget what it's called, but big.
The Creuset.
Yeah, and it is. Well, I'm looking one right now. Yeah, Chasseur. Really big, heavy, very expensive stuff. They did not use cheap aluminium stuff to boil their kettles, their glass kettles, all their copper. And the house I did last week, the entire roof, all of their fittings is all copper. There is no reception of the internet in their houses. Mm-hmm. You have to go outside to actually get it. So there's, how come they know that? How come they've got that? Because they can afford it.
Because they can afford it. Yeah, yeah. I bet they don't use microwaves either. They don't put their dinner in the microwave and use aluminium foil. There is no microwaves
in any of these houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a fact. And when they cover their food, they use wax paper. They do not use the useless leaders like me. I'm just going in there now and tell you, Ziploc bags made of plastic, aluminium foil, etc. I notice these things, and I've been doing this for 20 something years, going into wealthy people's houses. So I know that these people, they all have water filters, all of them. You know, there's not. So when you get a drink of water there, they've got these very expensive. Oh, you do? Oh, fantastic.
It's just a cold water.
Yeah, that's good. Sorry, there's another conversation with my protege. Yeah, the water filters are in every house. They have beautiful coffee machines that are also not, they don't have aluminium heating in the, they're not the cheap brands, they're Italian brands with stainless steel heating essentials. So there is a difference between the rich and the poor. Also, the one thing that really stood out to me, there's a company in Sydney, the winner is, what they do is they hermetically seal your house from outside pollutants. And that's what the business is kind of, I forget what it's called, but what they do is they seal all your house and you have special air conditioning ducts that filter any air. So your air inside your house is not the same air as outside. Now, that is a thing, and there is a company that's doing that. So the useless eaters are getting a completely different thing than the general public.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the wealthy people. We'll talk for your sake. How's Scotland going in the World Cup?
Well, Scotland won their game on Saturday, which was a big deal over here. That was we actually sat up and watched that 2 o'clock in the morning our time, 2 a.m. Sunday morning. So
one second, I'm just about to get another Australian version. Well, how's Scotland going?
John McGinn. Yeah.
John McGinn. Yeah.
The first World Cup.
He got his first World Cup goal
in like other ages. All
right. You're listening to Be Told.
Your family probably know.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
It's number 70. Sorry, Be Told number 70. Can you believe it? With Martha, all the way in Scotland. And he will be very excited about John McGinn. I heard that actually on the radio today. They said it's his first World Cup goal.
Yeah, I think it's the first goal Scotland have scored for 28 years. The last time he was in a World Cup was 28 years ago. So is that a dodgy number, 28? I don't think so. It's just the usual. Everyone's watching the football. Obviously, the Labour government are going ahead with banning under 16s from social media.
Yes,
that's not a surprise. I know you've had that in Australia for a while.
We lead the world with this stuff, and so they banned under 16s social media.
Still have an account
for him. I tell you now, the one people, a lot of kids or age group, you're not going to be able to stop is the under 16s because these kids.
There's, there's ways around it. There's ways. They'll find ways around it. But it's just.
And guess where they go to school and they just all talk together. And I remember this happening years ago when they said, oh, you had to be a certain age on Facebook and Twitter and maybe what's the other one that they're all into. What's the one that you're into? The photo one?
Instagram.
And TikTok. But I tell you, to be quite honest, I think TikTok has woken up more. I've had more intelligent conversations with one in particular is roaming around at the moment and his siblings. Because they've said, oh, Dad, I heard that on TikTok, what you said the other day. And I said, what, really? And then, sure enough, TikTok has been talking about all sorts of things that you can't even talk about on Australian radio.
No, it makes you wonder why they're letting that leak out. But they're going full steam ahead. I suppose the only concern is that, as I said before, you know, we will have to prove that we're not under 16. I don't know.
You just nailed it right on the head. That
you're not under 16.
That's
the end plan, isn't it? So it's going to be a slow drip.
The slow drip is that you are the one, not the 16-year-olds, because they've got no problem with technology. No. They go to school and give me a code, and they'll have a code that can just bypass all of the censorship. But the over 50s, the useless eaters, they're going to have to prove that they're actually at the age that they said, not actually 16 years of age.
Exactly. And as I've said before, everything will be tied into that. So if you want to renew your driving license, renew your passport, or you want to, I don't know, apply for a loan or whatever, anything connected to the government, go to the doctors, get a prescription. It will be, right, scan your ID, please, Mr. Rick, and then you can have your pills or you can have a passport. And if, you know, it's not compulsory, but if you don't want to go along with it, you won't have a passport and you won't have a driving license. But that's okay. I walk everywhere. I won't go on holiday. So, it's the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah, no, and I was thinking the other day too, you know, like the last time I went to New Zealand, no, actually, this is not true, but my youngest son that's in Melbourne, I had to go 4 years ago, would have been, into a chemist to get him him tested before he could go. He was flying over to see his sister for a sabbatical in New Zealand for a week. And I went into the chemist and we had to do this test. So he was able to get on the plane to the next day. This was completely compulsory. If you wanted to go overseas, you had to go and do a test in a chemist to make sure that you didn't have COVID-19. And I spoke to the chemist about this and he said, because we went in there and he passed, it came up negative. But the chemist said to me, he goes, I had a terrible day yesterday. He said, a family of six came in there and all five of them passed except for their little one-year-old baby and she failed and all her tickets were null and voided. They could not travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking this yesterday. I was thinking, you know, are people forgetting the tyranny that we went through? And yeah, they are. I think a lot of people are just going, oh, yeah, no, it's all gone now. But they can bring it back, years. Just like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and in fact, when we go to Croatia in a couple of weeks, we have biometric passports.
Yep.
I mean, renewed my passport because my passport runs out in November of this year. So I've got nearly 5 months left on it. So I could have gone to Croatia on it and got a new one next year. But I thought, well, what's going to happen next year? Next year, you might need your digital ID, et cetera, to get your passport. You might not, but I'm not going to risk it. I've got it now.
I'm going to say that you probably will.
Yeah. So I've got it now, which cost me £150. I don't know what that is in dollars.
$300.
Right, okay. So it's a biometric passport. And when we go to Croatia, we have to give our fingerprints as well. We have to fingerprint. We're fingerprinted as well as showing our biometric passport, which seems ridiculous.
Now, the only thing I will say this about the modern technology is that it is so much easier for me as a old useless eater to go into an airport now. What I can do with my smartphone is check in, you know, by myself, you know, press a few buttons, walk into an airport, put my bag on a weighing machine if I have to, but if I, and to be honest, I actually query this as well. Just if you, if you've got it a few kilos over, just stick it on your shoulder. Just don't tell them that it weighs, because all your tickets will have you're allowed 7 kilos of baggage or whatever. I found it so easy when I last, this time last year when I went to New Zealand for the first time in, it was 13 or 12 years that I hadn't been overseas. Oh, no, sorry. The last time I was in Vietnam was in 7 years ago. A completely different experience. I could check in with my smartphone. I could walk into the thing, and I just walked up to the customs, and they scan your face. Then you have to stand in that thing and spread your arms out wide. Now, I could have said, I don't want to do that. Can you frisk me? And they would have come and frisked me. But you do that thing, and you apparently get zapped by a mega amount of microwaves.
That
X-ray, yeah. But I did it, you know, you just do it, you stick your hands out. In Vietnam, I actually said, I spotted the customs agents, and they're all beautiful Vietnamese women. And I said, frisk, please.
Frisk, yes, please, yeah.
Can you frisk me? And it was so funny. And I didn't even worry about it. This is pre-COVID, mind you. This is about 2 years before. But I would much rather be frisked than stand in one of those things, particularly by the Vietnamese customs agents. Are much better looking than your average ones over here.
Yeah.
And, oh, absolutely. And, but anyway, traveling is way easier if you submit to the technocracy. But,
yeah, of course it is.
Look out if they say, are you vaccinated? You're not going, you are not going through that fucking, you're not going through that door.
Exactly. That, and that's 100%. Yeah. And I know, I mean, Ab's not here to defend himself, but the other night, I think was you talking about it on the call? Maybe you were, someone was talking about it, about, you know, data centers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had a few jobs.
And he said, I'm not going to be scared. Well, it's not a question of being scared. It's just a question of you won't be able to access any goods or services because you're not going to comply. So what are you going to do?
And that's what I said to him. I said, don't you remember 5 years ago in Canada where you couldn't even leave the country to go and visit America and you got sent back home again? It's like, it was just ridiculous. And he really fucking jumped the shark.
Yeah.
To stick up for technocracy. And you're right. So Neil Foster, I got an email yesterday from a listener and she said, you should listen to Neil Foster. Apparently he brings up, and it's very interesting, he brings up UK Column.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you, I've listened to that. I had my suspicions about UK Column when I watched it five years ago. They are bent as a dog's hind leg. They're well paid for by China. Don't worry about that.
He's got this funny English accent. He's ex-British Army.
They all are, yeah. They all got links to
the
military.
Actually, they are. And so the only one I like on there is the American that pops up every now and then.
I used to be on it quite a lot. I used to watch it back in, you know, COVID days when I didn't know any better. But after 6 months, I worked out that this German chap who's running them now, he's the major shareholder in them. He's World Dodge. He's World Dodge. I can't think of his name. But he's
well, you've got, again, I'll bring him up. What's his name? You've got Germ Warfare, the South African guy
who's got
big time, big time. And you've got
Brian Gerrish, who's ex-Navy.
The other plummy English one that is actually ex-British Army, and he was an officer in the British Army. Yep. He wasn't just a grunt, you know, or a
no.
He was an officer in the British Army.
And then the Irish bloke.
Well, I like, he argues a bit. He actually stands up because the Irish, no matter how contrived they are, they always stand up. And there's very rare that you get an Irishman that's going to betray you because they've got Scottish, they have a gene in their system that doesn't like tyranny.
And if you listen to the chat with Neil and Melissa, you might get a second opinion about him because he's very, very anti-English. Very, I know he's Northern Ireland, so that makes sense. But yeah, they're all, you know, on the side of China.
I talked about Kneecap a couple of shows ago.
Yeah,
and they're fantastic. But at the end of the day, their kind of message is it may be anti-Brit, but it's actually anti-white, and it's almost very much pro Antifa type, you know, stuff. It's really hard at the moment to find anyone that you can actually trust, because there's so many people that they've got an agenda, or, you know, to me at the moment, though, I do believe I can hear so much more clearer. It's the people that I can't trust. They come out like dog's testicles now, and they say something and I go, why would you say that for? Why would you even say that on a conversation if and can't you remember 6 years ago the things that we went through, the hoops we had to jump through just to exist, and even the abuse that we got just going to the shopping center without a mask on? You know, it's just beyond me.
Sitting in a bar in England.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, the rules of mask on, mask off, you know, sit down and have your drink and then put it on to go to the toilet.
The person next to you.
Yeah, that was a thing.
I've seen the pictures. I saw the little thing stuck on some pub in Surbiton or...
Yeah.
It said, can you not make, whatever you do, do not make eye contact with the tables around you, because this may encourage them to stand up and come over and talk to you. And they're standing up and they might spread COVID. I did share it onto the COVID memories. It probably came from Facebook, so I yet to be on Facebook to watch it, but it was a disco, the first dance, whatever, or dance, you know, some kind of, you know, dancing place in England, and everyone was sitting down listening to the music and kind of dancing with their feet tapping on the floor. And I was, you know, this actually happened. Yeah. There were the people submitting to dancing with each other and actually sitting down listening to a concert and just using their feet to tap on the floor rather than standing up. Because when you stood up, it spread COVID. Just remember that.
We got married in 2021. We was fully expecting to cancel it, because we both said we wasn't going to go through all the rules, because Scotland was about 9 months behind England with mask wearing and stuff like that. And I had friends and family come up from the south, and as soon as they got over the border on the train, they put masks on. So because it was the rules. And at the wedding, the rules were you had to wear a mask unless you were either drinking, eating, dancing, or sitting at a table. So if you were sitting at a table and you walked to the bar to get a drink, you had to put a mask on. Or if you were going to the toilet, you had to put a mask on. But if you were standing at the bar drinking, you didn't have to wear a mask, or you were dancing.
Nobody
took it notice of it, because we told people to ignore it all, and they did, and it was one of the best days probably they ever had during that period, if ever.
Yeah, well.
So they all ignored it, and it was a great day. You could dance to the toilet without wearing a mask, but if you walked to the toilet, you had to wear a mask. Work that out.
I went through it, but the thing that really freaked me out the most was that your enemy wasn't the government. It was a little old lady and a little old man that were there watching, or and reporting on you. And in America, they had dialer, COVID break, person, you know, including a very popular politician at the moment in America that was one of, apparently he was, you know, even though he claims to be, I can't remember his name, but he was, I think it might be that Californian one. They had that Dobbin.
Newsom
or whatever. Mm. That was, you know, Dobbin, you know, have you spotted one? Are these people that being, and where I live now is full of old people. And I keep having these conversations. I just went to get my haircut today. Where I live, it should be called the hairdressing village, because there's in this small area village, there's about 10 home hairdressers. And I went down today because I wanted a haircut, and I thought, I'll go and see. I haven't been there for 5 years since COVID. And I went down and we had a huge conversation about those days, because I actually got her many clients because she was not concerned whatsoever about getting touching people's hair. And she said to me, we were having this conversation because I actually got her three of her regular clients now, because they were just people I just bumped into, and they were women in their 50s that wanted their hair dyed. They didn't want to have grey hair. They wanted their hair dyed. And you could not go to a normal hairdresser where I lived without being reported or vaccinated, rather, without being vaccinated. And so I got her some really good clients, and we were talking about it today, and she said she had a guy came in and he brought his own seat into her hairdressing thing, and he had gloves on and a mask on. He goes, I thought I heard you cough. And she said, if you heard me cough, I probably cough, but you better go home if that's going to concern you. This is the ludicrousness of what was happening 5 years ago. And that's what really pisses me off now when I hear anyone that's kind of saying, oh, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? You know, and who are they? Who are they? Look, straight away, it's like, to me, it's a red flag to a bull, and I will charge immediately if someone starts saying that. What are you scared of? It's NLP. It's neuro-linguistic programming. It's insulting you, like being called a conspiracy theorist, which to me is a compliment these days. I've got over that problem with it.
Everyone's a conspiracy theorist nowadays. Everyone's a conspiracy because we're living in a conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy. It's bullshit.
Yeah. And the work from home thing is still going on and destroying businesses left, right, and center. And I just did a job last. I worked all over the long weekend we had last weekend the weekend before, because this lady's bought this office and she said she cannot rent it out because everyone's working from home. All the businesses are now, you know, you've got all this vacancy of office space. Not believe. So all these investors, this is middle class, or what you call the middle class type people who've got investment properties, they're going broke because they cannot rent them out because no one wants to rent an office anymore. And you're a living example of that, I do believe.
Yeah, working at home, 80% of the time, same as everybody else. I mean, some people haven't stepped foot in the office for six years. And it has its benefits, of course it does, for me, because it saves travel and, we've got kids to look after and things like that. Without a doubt,
every single part of working from home to me is a positive. You cannot tell me there's a negative about it. But in terms of you're listening to number 70, Be Told.
Truth Be. Truth Meets is supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Be Told number 70, and Martha and Rick are talking about the COVID days, which we can not ever forget, because it's coming back again whenever they decide to. And I'm telling you now, we're only that far away from stuff. Particularly the amount of sick people everywhere. I contacted a friend of mine yesterday, because I'm going back to New Zealand, and I haven't seen these people in 30 years. And there's a lot of people who I know that are real radical anti-COVID types. And a guy contacted me yesterday, said, look, I've got my wife's got pneumonia. He just got married, actually, to his ex that I knew when they were together fucking 35 years ago. They've now got back together and just got married. She just got hospitalized with pneumonia. He's sick as a dog, and he's concerned about me coming. He said, I don't want to come and see you if I'm really sick. And I went, look, to me, I said, you need to go and get tested for mycoplasma because that's the airborne one that I'm suggesting they are spraying over the top of people's areas, which is making a lot of people sick. And mycoplasma is aerosolized and can be aerosolized. Anyway, I said go and sniff salt, which is my best go-to. Get salt up your nose. Get oxygen into your brain, et cetera. But everyone I'm talking to is like, I'm hearing some really bad stuff going on at the moment, including a recent suicide of someone that I knew. Because his mother died and he just couldn't handle, he was in this, I think he's 63 or something. He lived with his mother all his life and not lived with his mother, but he's very close to her and she passed away and he just couldn't handle life. You know, he was just depressed about everything. And I guess the depression would have come from the last 6 years, where you couldn't even go to a funeral. Right. Went to people's houses and they were sitting there crying and they were watching their TV and I went, what's the matter? And they said, oh, we're just watching a best friend that died. We can't go to attend their funeral because of COVID, oh, fucking hell. And they were miserable. Everyone was miserable. And I was lucky that I managed to, didn't really affect me apart from.
We didn't participate in it, but all our friends and family did to a certain extent.
Well, you couldn't go and see your mother if your old mother was going. You can't come and see me because I don't want you to kill me. Because I know you're not vaccinated. And this happened.
I know. Yeah, I know. It did. Yeah. And what really pisses me off is these people were running this. Who were the mouth, but they wasn't running it. So you're looking at your Dan Andrews and your Arden, Sturgeon and Boris Johnson and all them. The front people who were reading the script, there were different levels of it. But they've just walked away, haven't they? They just walked away into the sunset, and just perfectly. That's it. Where are they? Do they not have any? I don't know. They're not looking in the mirror and think, what did I do? No, I suppose they do. Tony Blair and people, they're just psychopaths. They're psychopaths.
And you mentioned one of the biggest ones, Tony B. Liar. That guy, look at his face, look at his eyes, and he really looks fucking malicious now. He looks he's way more evil than he used to look.
He's behind all this digital ID shit, 100%. His son works for a company who's rolling it out. The Madeleine McCann, I don't know if you remember that, the young child who allegedly got kidnapped. That was all a psyop to bring in digital ID and DNA databases.
Where I live, well, not far from me, was one of the biggest stories in Australia of a missing child that happened in 10 years ago. And I said, this is another one of those psychological operations to make you worry about your children, where they are. Maybe we should chip them. And Madeleine McCann, that story is 100%. We had an Australian version of that same thing. It's still a mystery. It's still one of the biggest stories, for all of the Cluedo-type conspiracy grannies and young people out there that go, this is so mysterious, this? And so maybe we should, maybe it would be better if we chipped our children and put a biometric chip in them, because at least we'll be able to find them within 13 seconds.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Exactly.
It's got to the point now where I even think that the McCann child didn't even exist. It was just a complete made up.
Yeah, same as the one that's nearby me. Yeah. Yeah. He never existed.
Yeah. But he did. It's just a story.
It's just a story, yeah. And so what it does, though, it creates this whole thing about them. Because, if you can imagine, it's the same as only a cat or a dog, and that's why so many people chip their cats and dogs, because they don't want them to disappear and they want to find them quickly. So you can right now go and get your dog or your cat chipped. They just inject a very small
Ours are chipped. Our cats and the doggies chipped. I mean, but it's nothing to say they won't happen to humans eventually. I know people will do it.
Of course they're going to do it, and they're going to go, I don't want my child to be abducted by said, you know, pedophile network underground secret soldier base.
Pedophile ring. Yeah.
So the whole thing feeds into this. It's called problem, reaction, solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, create a problem, offer a, create the reaction, then offer a solution. Mm-hmm. And that's, we can stick this, you know, small rice-sized thing under his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And just like your cat, and we can find them in 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, they have the solution first, and then come up with a problem to get the reaction. So it should be the other way around. But yeah, we all know dialectics, but it's just crazy. Hopefully, their incompetence with regard to the IDs and all that will just, because you know it's going to be a flop. But who wants to share their information? You know, your whole life and your history will be on an app on your phone.
Yeah, you know, simple as that. Yeah. And we got Palantir. Why do they keep naming them obvious names like Palantir is, you know, Lord of the Rings, you know, it's like Saruman's, you know, the stone he could look, or is it a stone or a crystal he could look into and see what's going down? It was Palantir. And so they call it Palantir. And so people go, oh, it's so obvious that it's too much for them. It's like, what's going on over your head? It's so obvious, but it's too much for people to go. They wouldn't be spraying molds and metallics to make things, the smart grid go more, be more accurate. Because in New Zealand, they are bragging about that big American military company having the technology now in New Zealand where they can find you any living creature within 3 millimeters away from their body, because they've got this giant grid set up over there, and it's happened. They brag about it. It's a big American military company, and they said, "Yeah, no, we've got it now." So there'll be no more missing people. That's why you keep seeing all this abductions and stuff like that in the news at the moment. There's lots of kidnappings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If we had this technology, we'd be able to find them. And
even of all these silly, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but these ring doorbells everyone's got, you know, it videos the person knocking on the door. So if you're on holiday, you can see who's breaking into your house. And you think, why would you want to do that when you're thousands of miles away? You can't do anything about it, can you? So what's the point of seeing if you're having a package delivered? That's the video people walking past.
Yeah, I seen it coming when I was working for that company. We had to sign a secrecy, literally sign a secrets thing, not secrets thing, non-disclosure. Mm-hmm. It was a company that just dealt with technology and creating technology. They had anti-drone stuff getting done there. They had all this stuff. And by coincidence, conspiracy theorists, useless eater, got it, signed the Secrets Act, and I was working in there, and I used to talk to people working on this technology. And one of them was the doorbell with the cameras in it, and the lock that can be activated and shut off. Your front door will not open if you're a useless eater that you didn't get vaccinated, whatever. Mm. And that was one of the things they were working on. Mm. I've seen it.
And also, the police, if you have one of those doorbells, you don't have any privacy now, because the police can come along and take that film. So say they're looking for, say a child has gone missing, right, and they want to track a suspect. They can use that footage from your doorbell, which is in your house, without your consent. So mm-hmm. you're giving all your privacy away. So no one's got any privacy anymore, no matter how you look at it.
Palantir that's behind a lot of that stuff as well. You know, it's like basically every single part of everything is just going to be feeding into these giant smart data centers.
Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Look, it's right. And it's like these data centers, as I've been in conversation with Dave J, who's out of the loop for the last few months, but he said, he sent me a thing about data centers, and he said, these things are nothing to do with the internet keeping records. They are there to suck energy and bring it, cause a massive amount of property. Everything's going to cost more because these data centers are just basically energy. I'll describe them energy parasites. They're being built. They're using the water. They're also discharging an awful lot of toxic EMF type stuff. They're ruining
noise. The noise as well. Noise. Everything about them is yeah.
Yeah,
why are they building them? They're not going to build them to leave them. Well, I mean, Ab might say they're going to build them to leave them empty. They're not going to be empty shells. They're building them. You don't need anybody to run them, so they're just going to be sitting there. You need a minimal staff to oversee them. They can probably be controlled from a central point in anywhere in the world from a laptop.
Yeah.
And they're dangerous in my opinion.
What are you scared of? We're going into technocracy. Just admit that we're going into technocracy and it's not a good thing. And if you think it's a good thing, I've got a Harbour Bridge I can sell you. You know, it's going really cheap at the moment.
That's all right. I mean, I sound like I'm bad mouthing that, but he'll be moving to China soon anyway, so he'll be all right with the son-in-law.
Funny there. There's another coincidence. So you've got an awful lot of pro-China stuff coming out, and I just keep seeing and hearing it's getting louder, and this is the unveiling. This is revelations of the unveiling. The truth is quite obvious if you've got an open mind and you can see what's going down and you can hear people's voices. That's where I'm getting the stuff from, the people's voices, and I'm going, why would that guy be saying this? The same thing as that the mainstream media is saying, rubbishing this and this and this, and why are you worried about this? And the one that really bugs me is when someone says, oh, you're scared, fear porn. I have been going on about this coming technocracy loop that's going down since 82. That's a long time. That's a long time. Mm. And I've been getting called a conspiracy theorist and a lunatic and a blah, 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 blah. Now I get there and the same people that I thought, you know, at least they'll be able to understand, are calling me a conspiracy theorist and a fear porn merchant.
Yeah. You need to be aware of what's, as Alan Watts said, what's coming down the pike. You need to be aware of what's coming
down the pike. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and it might not be the full plan, but they will
get it eventually.
Water things down and dilute things to get there eventually. But they might change direction
They'll pull back. As soon as they see so many people getting angry, they go, well, hang on, let it, you know, pull back.
Yeah.
Then we're going to come in. And then they come in. It's just the same thing as the anaconda or the giant. The titans. As soon as you breathe in, it tightens up closer. It's a constrictor.
And, you know, in 6 months' time, they'll release the Epstein files again and that'll all come back for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, we've had the World Cup and all that and there'll be an alien invasion and Trump will say something and all of a sudden, you know, these things will be going on in the background and which you're diverted from. So you need to know what the full picture is. You need to know what to ignore and think.
Of course, you can't be scared. There's nothing you can do about the agenda as an individual other than let people know that it's like, particularly nuclear bombs. They haven't got a nuclear bomb, so why is Trump invading Iran for? It's a property deal. And why is his son, have you heard about his son and his wife buying this huge big military base, ex-military base in somewhere in the Eastern Bloc country, which full of tunnels and underground bits and pieces. They just paid like $2 billion for it. This is Trump's son and his daughter's husband.
His daughter.
They just bought this huge, big ex-military, Russian military base in between Hungary or wherever it is. But, you know, can't you see what's going down? People can't see. Can't You See? That's a good song. Actually, put it in with that. So I can't remember the name of the song, but anyway, Martha, you got to go, and I've got.
Yeah,
go
I'm going to shoot. It's nearly lunchtime here, so I'm going to have some lunch. Enjoy your trip to New Zealand. I mean,
I'm looking forward to it, and my daughter's very excited to see me looking excited about going and doing anything because I'm such a.
How long? Oh, I sound like Columbo. Just one more thing. how long does it take to fly where you are to New Zealand? My geography is terrible with that part of the world.
From Sydney, it's 3 hours.
3 hours? Wow.
Yeah.
Is that to North Island or the South Island?
North. And it'd be the same to the South. But there's less flights that go to the South. So sometimes you have to fly.
You can fly.
It's very close. Absolutely fantastic. You'd love New Zealand if you like Scotland. You'd love New Zealand. I would say that.
No, you're right. And like I say, my very good friend of ours, his wife's from New Zealand, and they go back there, you know, from time to time. And it does look an amazing place. I mean, that's for sure. My father-in-law's been there quite a lot.
It's a very much an English. It was the place where most English kind of back from the 50s onwards. He says falling over his rug, took off to and moved. You know, a lot of English went to New Zealand and Australia, but New Zealand's way more comfortable because we don't have the snakes and the poisonous everything.
Just a shame that disgusting woman in charge was in charge for 10, 15 years.
They've found someone just as bad.
I'm sure she'll be just as bad replaced.
It's going downhill. Anyway, thanks.
Yeah, enjoy your trip. Good chat, and speak to you later.
I'll speak to you in a week's time. Thank you, Martha.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you, Martha, for being on the BTOL number 70. Good conversation. Proper conversation.
Catch you later.
Thanks, Martha.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Martha, all the way from Scotland, talking to Rick, all the way from the mid-north coast of New South Wales. I just said, I was having this weird conversation, though, with this guy. He said he's from Sydney, and then he said, may peace be with you, brother. And I went, I said, are you Muslim? And as soon as I said that, he blocked me. What a strange thing to do, because I wasn't being insulting. I was just saying, are you a Muslim? It's interesting. You're on fakeologist.com. Not many Muslims on there, or are there? Anyway, that was a great conversation. That was BTOL number 70. And I'll send a song in to Joel, and I'll be back. I would doubt you're going to hear from me for at least 8 or 9 days or 10 days. So that's it for BTOLs for 10 days. Definitely going to be possibly doing a bongversation in about Sunday week, which is the 28th of June. Could be a bongversation and a BTOL afterwards. Thank you very much. And there'll be a 1, a 2, a 3. What song will it be? What song will it be? Can't You See? Hang on.
You're listening to...
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
What a terrific voice that man has, Joel from up somewhere over the Blue Mountains. Fantastic. Anyway, am I going to keep going? That was a great conversation, though, and we cannot forget the tyranny we went through, the ludicrousness of COVID. But there are people out there that just kind of gloss over it. What are you scared of? What are you scared of? It's like, come on. We're not scared. We're just... don't like tyranny. I have Scottish jeans, AMCO, so Levi's, joke. And I've got Irish jeans. We do not like tyranny, and tyranny is not our friend. And there's these people that are coming out. They're all, China's actually kind of cool. That's UK column. They're just anti-America and pro-China. Very suspicious. I like the American thing, but I don't like that's why it's been run and that imbecile they've got, that shifty fucking, Ronald McDonald, orange hair. Look at Ronald McDonald. Look at him. What was the odds of being called Ronald McDonald, Donald, and having orange hair? There. Guaranteed. Anyway, we're going to go and I'll send a song to Joel. Episode number 70 of Be Told for 10 days at least. Thank you very much. And we're going to hear something amazing. All the music I play is fantastic. So what are we going to hear? No idea. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. A 1, a 2, a 3. Dot, goodbye.
She bent.